The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
We are today starting a review of a verse for the year. And as we're doing this, let's remember that outside we have an Ebenezer stone. When you come in to the church, I don't know how many of you have even noticed it, how many of you ever stopped to look at it, but the Ebenezer stone in 1 Samuel was erected, and the statement associated with the stone was, let's put the stone up, thus far the Lord has helped us. We'll remember that God has helped us. And as a church here, God's been helping us since 1880. I mean, think of that. 1880 is when a few Swedes came to Jesus Christ and started what we now call Fellowship Community Church. That's just amazing when I think about it, how God has provided all along the way. And when you look at the stone, it is a remembrance of how he's provided in the past, but it also helps us to look into the future and say, yes, he's provided in the past, he'll provide in the future as well. And we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for the truth of the Ebenezer stone. So it's that season of the year when we make resolutions. And I like the little comic. I think I made too many New Year's resolutions this year. It took me almost a full day to break them all. And resolutions, of course, is that determination. I resolve an affirmed decision to do or not do something. And when we make resolutions, it requires steadfastness, determination, perseverance, discipline, and desire. And we're going to kind of think about that today. One author says it this way. You kind of look back to the year that just went by. You purge out the things that were not helping you grow, not helping you be the person that God wants you to be. And then you plan for the future. And you make plans that will help you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Frances Havergal was a great hymn writer, British, and she spoke a lot about consecration. At our concert of prayer in December, we remembered her song, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And so she wrote with that serious pen. And often, she wrote New Year's poems. And in 1873, she wrote this poem, and she sent it out to all her friends. She had it printed up on a card, and she sent it to all of her friends. Another year is dawning, dear Master, let it be, in working or in waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of leaning upon Thy loving breast, another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace, another year of gladness, in the shining of Thy face. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days. Another year of service, of witness for Thy love, another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Master, let it be, on earth or else in heaven, another year for Thee. Now, it's very interesting because she wrote this poem in 1873. In January of 74, she's expecting to get a letter from a publisher in the U.S. who she's expecting to receive some sort of grant from, and she's going to take her poetry writing ministry from Britain to America. Instead, he had lost everything and went bankrupt. And so she had to cancel her plans. And you know, as we make resolutions, as we think about the new year, we're very optimistic about what God's going to do, what's going to happen. But sometimes along the way, there are hardships that come. There's pain, there's suffering, there's sorrow. So she summarized it this way, in perplexities, when we cannot tell what to do, when we cannot understand what is going on around us, let us be calmed and steadied and made patient by the thought that what is hidden from us is not hidden from Him. And I think that's such a great word, such a great way to start the year. It is my earnest goal that all of us this year will live in the will of God, that's what we'll do. So as I was in a worship service with my sons in Virginia, at the conclusion of the service, God impressed upon me 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. So this year, you get triply blessed. In the past, we've had one verse for the year, but this year, we have three of the shortest verses in the Bible to summarize three B's for 2003. Be joyful, be prayerful, and be thankful. This is a great way to summarize our goals and aspirations for this year. The elders and I especially have been talking about joy. We've been talking about prayer and thanksgiving. And so it really fit very well. And I'm trusting that God's going to use it as a focus for us and a help. So the verses are, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, when you break it down, you see that the will of God is defined in three commands: joyful, prayerful, and thankful. And it's followed by a statement. And so in subsequent weeks, we're going to look at the commands. We'll take a week for each one, joy and prayer and thanks. But today, we're just going to look at that concluding statement. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And we're going to do this rather quickly, but it's a great statement. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Let's define the will of God. The noun and the verb is used, the noun's used 62 times, the verb's over 200 times in the New Testament. Now, there's an objective sense to the noun. What one wishes to happen in a personal level. What one wishes to bring about by one's own action, since one has undertaken to do what one willed. That sounds like it came out of a lexicon, doesn't it? And it did. Corporately, what one wishes to bring about by the activity of others, to whom one assigns a task. So there's a personal aspect to the will. There's a corporate aspect. There's also the subjective sense, the act of willing, of desiring, as a rule of the will of God or of Christ. What one wishes to bring about by one's own action, since one has undertaken to do what one has willed. What I want you to understand about this noun and this verb is, God is passionate about you and I experience the fullness of his will. It isn't just, okay, here's a plan, here's a roadmap, here's how you do it, here's the instructions, play by the rule book. No. God loves you. He loves you. His will is the best for you. He knows you better than you know you. And he wants the very best for you. He created us, and he's made all the provisions for us to experience an abundant life with him on this planet this year. I think that's so thrilling. My desire is that we will experience the directive will of God, not just his permissive will. Or to state it another way, I hope you're not sitting here thinking, I'm going to try to get away with as much sin as I can and still make it to heaven. No. That's permissive. That's not directive. No, I can see his directive will as he's revealed it in Scripture, as his Holy Spirit. Every Christian is immortal on the earth until their mission's complete. I really believe that. And that was true of Jesus, and I think it's true of us. So let us delight to do his will. Jesus said, this is how you identify those who are in my family. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That's what he said. And he made it a matter of prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how is God's will done in heaven? Do the angels argue with God? Oh, no, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. No, holy angels don't do that. They do the will of God immediately, wholeheartedly. And so Jesus included this. Their example should inspire us. We want to see God's will done on the earth the way it's done in heaven. That's quite a high standard. And what a blessing for us to seek for that. And when he's reigning, when his kingdom does come on the earth, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're yearning for that day. Now, Epaphras prayed this way for the church of Colossae. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. I hope you have some wrestlers who pray for you. I hope you wrestle in prayer. What for? that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. You don't know how to pray for somebody. Just pray that they'll be fully assured and mature in the will of God. That's a great prayer. It really is. What a wonderful focus for prayer. So you say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So I ask you, do you seek his will? If you keep a record of your time this week, and then at the end of the week you evaluated, would you see evidence of God's will in your life? Would you see it in your checkbook? Would you see it in your day timer? Would you see it in the decisions you made? You see, that's really where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Now, I want to show you something. This is a picture of a tombstone. Aren't you glad I brought it in? I know you can't read it, but this is the tombstone of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. D.L. Moody was led to Christ when he went to work in a cobbler's shop, and the guy who owned the shop challenged him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did. And that was when he was a young man. And he served the Lord as an evangelist. He planted a church called Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. He planted a school called Moody Bible Institute that still exists today. You know, he did a lot for the Lord. And on his tombstone, he had written, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The work that he did counted forever. So it's possible to do this, see? You can live in the will of God. And it's not that restrictive. There's a lot of freedom, but it's just a blessing. It's a blessing to live in his will. Now, I don't know how much you know about D.L. Moody, but he was on a ship from England to the U.S., and they had spent a whole night in prayer. And one of the men in the prayer group said, "The world is yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him." That was the statement. Well, Moody goes out on the deck, and he's pacing the deck, back and forth and back and forth. And he talks about how he just meditated on this statement. And then he said, "By God's help, I aim to be that man." Do you aim to be that person? Do I aim to be that person? Committed to the will of God, surrendered to him, fully consecrated to him. You know, the will of God is to be active. It's lifestyle. And I want nothing more and nothing less than the will of God for Fellowship Community Church. For every one of you, in your life, in your family, in your work, in your joy, in your playtime, everything. I mean, that is why I believe God led me to these verses. Like, it's just such a great statement. "For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus," defined by three simple commands: joyful, prayerful, thankful. Now, what does the Bible tell us about the expressions of God's will? Well, there are two basic things that the Bible teaches us. Our salvation. 1 Timothy 2:3-5. "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants, desires, wills all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Not all do, because not everyone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. People choose to reject that message. But it's God's desire. God doesn't send anyone to hell with a smile. People go to hell because they choose to go to hell. The provision's been made. All they need to do is believe. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." And in another statement in Peter, 2 Peter, I just heard today that Bill Stewart's teaching 2 Peter in the ABF. So there you go. Here's a quote from it. Chapter 3 and verse 9, thinking about the Lord's coming. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise of the return of his son, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, when you're convicted of your sin, then you repent. You want a Savior. You have a desire for a Savior. D.L. Moody himself used to say, this is how you describe repentance. You're walking wrong, going your own way. All of a sudden, the Lord convicts you. And he says, "Halt!" And then he says, "About face, forward march with the Lord." You see, that's repentance. And that's what it takes. When we repent of our sins, we desire the Savior. And Jesus said clearly, "For my Father's will," again the same term, "is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Are you looking for that day? Are you looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have the desire that 2023 might be the year? You know, we used to wear a little lapel pin, and it had a little trumpet on it. Do you remember this? Back in the 70s, you know, when I was just a toddler. Anyway, and the little trumpet said, perhaps today the trumpet will sound. And you know, living with that anticipation, that expectation that the Lord is coming, should motivate us to live holy lives, to live for Him, to walk in His will, to enjoy it, to spread the good news of the gospel. So, salvation, and then sanctification. For it is God's will that you should be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Now, there's a sense sanctification is used in three tenses in the Bible. There's a sense the moment we trust Christ, we are sanctified. That's why when Paul writes to some churches, he calls them saints. They are sanctified in Christ. They have the righteousness of Christ. When God looks at them, He sees the righteousness of His Son. They're sanctified. And one day we'll be totally rid of sin, and in the future we'll be sanctified fully. But right now, we're in a battleground, right? It's called progressive sanctification. That we struggle against the devil, against the world, and against our own flesh. And it is a battle, right? I mean, it really is. And some days we feel like we're making good progress, and other days not so good. But in it all, God is working. And God is desiring for us to make progress, for us to become more and more like His Son. That's what He desires. And we can do it. You know, I love this. The best advice I could give on this subject is Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be metamorphosized. Renewal is through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The two work together to renew us. Renew your mind. Reprogram your mind as a believer. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's complete. It's pleasing. It's good. It always will be good. It always will be good. And that's such a blessing for us to remember. Now, I got to remind you, sometimes it comes with suffering. And this is hard to accept, but it's true. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If you read 1 Peter, he speaks a lot about suffering. We shouldn't think it's strange when we suffer. Sometimes you step out to do the right thing and you get criticized. You get persecuted. But it's worth it. Our Savior walked the path of suffering. And may we be courageous in seeking to do His will. It's a battle. It's a battle. So let us examine ourselves. Just ask the simple question, am I in Christ Jesus? To see whether we're in the faith. Test yourself. Starting a new year, test yourself. Think about this. Are you really in Christ? Have you really believed on Him? Is this a desire for you, because you've been transformed, to live for Him? You know, these are good questions to ask on the 1st of January in any year. And it's good for the 2nd of January, the 3rd, the 4th, throughout the year. But it's good. Examine ourselves. Now, to help us today, I ran across a song I just had to share with you. Okay, this is by a group called Shane and Shane. I don't know if you're familiar with these guys. They're amazing musicians, okay? And they wrote a song which is entitled, You've Already Won, addressing the Lord. And I'm going to have you listen to it, and I'm warning you, it's 7 minutes long, all right? Okay, but I preached fast today, so we're all right. We got time. I want you to listen to the words. Now, originally, this song was written last year to give courage to our Ukrainian brothers and sisters that are facing war. So that was the context which these guys wrote this song. But I think it applies to our salvation, our sanctification. I want you to drink it in as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper today. So here it is.
Darkness, hope. as one, so I can face tomorrow. For tomorrow's in your hands. All I need you will provide, just like you always are.
Today, because we know about tomorrow. Here we go.
Yeah. Isn't it technology great? We can bring Shane and Shane in to sing to us. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I don't know how that line hits you, but that really hits me. I don't know what 2023 is going to be like. I don't know what God's going to be doing, but I know what he's done. I know what he did in the past at the cross. I know what he did when he rose again from the dead, when he declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, right? And when he changed my life, when I believed on him, and that's all was required, and that was the will of God, and that's the will of God for everyone who will believe. And that's the call. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're saying, I do believe. I'm taking this bread, I'm taking this cup as a symbol of his body and his blood shed for me. And I'm believing that he died for me. Now, in some traditions, not ours so much, they use creeds. All right, so I'm going to do something today I've never done before in my whole life in a church service. I'm not saying we're going to change what we do, all right? I'm not saying that. Please don't walk out and say, Pastor Rick lost his mind. That's not what happened. But I thought today, on this first day of January 2023, maybe it would be healthy for us to remember who Jesus really is. The Nicene Creed was written in the 4th century when the church fathers got together because the person of Jesus had been attacked, and primarily, they did not believe in the deity of Jesus. And when they had freedom under Constantine to meet together, they gathered together and they discussed who exactly is Jesus. What are the scriptures telling us about who Jesus is? And they concluded that he's fully God and fully human. And that's what we believe. So the Nicene Creed says that very clearly, a little clearer than the first century Apostles' Creed, which is an older creed. But the Nicene Creed is a little more. So we're going to recite this together. We're going to read it together. And just meditate on the words, just like you listen to that song. Listen to the words as we say them together. All right? You don't need that. We're going to read the Nicene Creed. And then, after that, we're going to read a Confession of Sins by John Calvin. Now, again, we're not used to this, so don't get too scared. We're not going to do it every week, but we're going to do it today. So let's do the Nicene Creed first, together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he arose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. That's the Nicene Creed. Now, we said we would examine ourselves, and in some traditions, they use prayers of confession. I'm not saying we should always do this, but just to prompt us today, I'm going to recite, we're going to read together, a confession of sin that was written by John Calvin, the great reformer. And just as you meditate on it, as you listen to it, then I'm going to give you silent time in your private world to prepare your heart for receiving the Lord's Supper, for receiving the bread and receiving the cup and confessing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord God, eternal and almighty Father, we acknowledge and confess before thy holy majesty that we are poor sinners, conceived and born in guilt and in corruption. prone to do evil, unable of ourselves to do any good, who by reason of our depravity transgress within thy holy commandments. Therefore we have drawn upon ourselves by thy just sentence, condemnation, and death. But, O Lord, with heartfelt sorrow we repent and deplore our offense. We condemn ourselves and our evil ways with true penance, beseeching that thy grace may relieve our distress. Be pleased to have compassion on us, O most gracious God, Father of mercies, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and removing our guilt and our pollution, grant us the daily increase of the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that acknowledging from our inmost hearts our own unrighteousness, we may be touched with sorrow that shall work true repentance, and that thy Spirit, mortifying all sin within us, may produce the fruits of holiness and of righteousness well-pleasing in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take that private moment now. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Our sins are forgiven in Christ. But for our relationship with God to be healthy and strong, we still acknowledge our sins, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Today, Lord, we stand forgiven in Christ. We praise you that you're a God who delights and is pleased in your will to forgive us our sins, to purify us from all unrighteousness. We are sinners by our nature and by our choices, but greater is the blood of your Son. Lord, we ask you today to bless this bread. Jesus, that's what you did in this ordinance. This bread representing your body broken for us, given for us. Father, please bless this bread to us. And Father, bless the cup, which Jesus said is the cup of my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Bless this bread and this cup to us today. Spiritually nourish us, increase our faith and our love for you and our desire to know and do your will every day of our lives. May this be a sacred moment of memory as we begin this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.